Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
I want you to imagine that you've lost everything, and then you've lost everything again. How would you manage it? How do you keep the faith? How do you move on? A modern day story of Job. That is what we're going to talk about today here on the Council of Trent podcast. Also, it's Free for All Friday. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. On Friday, we talk about, well, whatever I want to talk about. All kinds of interesting stories, things to share. I'm currently visiting my in-laws up in Oklahoma, and I've met a wonderful couple who has a fascinating story to share with us, and I think will provide a lot of helpful lessons about how to give thanks and praise and glory to God when things don't go entirely according to your plan. My guests today are Stacy and Lane Sokup. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Trent. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, absolutely. So what I wanted to have you guys share your story. Well, first, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your family and your background so our listeners can get to know you.
Well, we are the parents of 10 children.
We've been married 20...
Yeah, how long have you been married?
27 years now? 28
years. 28.
Okay, so 28 years, 10 kids.
Yeah.
And then what do you do for a living?
I own a company called Doggone Critters. We trap nuisance animals out of people's yards and houses. Basically, pest control for animals.
Oh, pest control. Okay, pest control for animals. So like the really big ones that people don't like.
Any four-legged critter.
Oh, basically. My goodness. What kinds do you get?
You know, squirrels this time of year in the spring. Animals are trying to get inside to maybe the attic or crawl spaces. They'll nest and have their young.
We came home the other night. We were out to dinner with friends, and we pulled up to our house and turned on the headlights. And the garage door, I'd opened the garage door. I was about to pull in. And there was a giant possum in the yard. He was huge. And he starts waddling towards the garage. And Laura's like, close the door, close the door. And I'm like hitting the button, trying to close it before he gets into the garage. But I don't know. Do you get possums? And all
oh,
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was probably trying to get inside to have a litter.
Oh. Okay. So that's what you guys do. And so I want to talk a little bit about the experiences that you guys have gone through. So you've lost your home twice. So tell us about the first time. People always wonder, like, oh, and I always prep people, disasters, preparation, planning on this podcast. I want to talk about each of the two times and what you guys have done, how you've gotten through this. So what happened the first time?
Well,
about 10 years ago.
Yeah. 2011, May 24th. There was a large tornado. Basically, we were told it was going to be perfect conditions for tornadoes days in advance. So we suspected that there was going to be problems that day. And I just remember being at work in the south part of the city, and my son was working in the north part of the city, and I was going to go pick him up at the end of the day. But the weather was getting bad. I decided around 3 o'clock to go get him. It's normally a 20-minute drive, but it took me 45 minutes to get there just because it seemed like everybody was trying to get out of the city.
Right.
And anyway, I picked him up. I called. Stacy and I were in contact. She was at home with
five
of the kids, and two of our kids were at a church camp, and then the oldest one was working. And so we were talking, and there were three tornadoes basically out west of us, but it looked as if they were going to miss us.
Yeah.
And then I remember by the time I got my son picked up and called her again, I don't remember exactly, but I think the three tornadoes or the systems had converged, and for some reason it had caused it to turn right towards our house. And
I had lost power and phone at our house. I had sent my cell phone with my son that day, so I had no contact. I knew the storm was in El Reno, which was a good 20, 30 miles from us, but I didn't really know what direction it was headed. But the kids and I decided to go to the lower level of our house just in case. We had a walkout. We had a walkout.
Okay.
Yeah, a walkout basement. Not a full basement, but a walkout. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go ahead and go down there. Like he said, we had lost contact, so I didn't know what part of the city he was in. I was worried about him because I knew there were several storms. But
you didn't have really any... Did you have knowledge the tornado was coming towards you?
No. Oh, no, wow. Okay. I really didn't. So we were in... Our room was actually in that lower level. So we were comfortable. We were just in our room. And the kids kept insisting to shut the doors to the room and shut the door to the bathroom. So kind of to appease them, I did that. And next thing I knew, those interior doors were rattling.
Oh.
So I knew something was really not right. We started praying. We huddled all together. And that's when the banging started upstairs. And I could hear, I mean, it sounded like a monster throwing things around for what seemed like forever. It probably lasted about 20 minutes. And my main prayer was that the ceiling... above us, which would have been, you know, the first story floor,
didn't cave
or get sucked up. And I just kept praying. And finally the noise stopped and that ceiling did hold and we were fine. And then I had to just wait. A neighbor finally came over with a cell phone and I could contact him and find out that they were okay. But then it took you a while before you could get back to us.
Yeah, I was, the last time I talked to you, I said, when you still had power, that I'm going to find a way to get home. And I just remember trying to get home. They had the highways blocked off, so I knew there was a large tornado. And, you know, and then I couldn't get a hold of you anymore. I tried to call back and to tell you I can't get there, and I couldn't get a hold of you. So I drove around for a while just trying to think how else I could get there. And finally, the Northwest Expressway opened back up. So I knew it had probably passed. And I started heading home the normal route I usually took. And then I received the call from you. And I remember, you know, you just said it's all gone. So
it was,
everybody's
just, it was
okay.
Just like cleared.
The main floor, yes. Mm-hmm. We were fine in the lower level. But we had two barns that were completely gone, and the main floor of the house was, I don't know, 90% gone. There were still portions of walls here and there, but for the most part, our four-year-old son, when we went out, it took a bit to get the door open. Even there was debris and everything in front of the door, and when we got the door open, our four-year-old looked around and said, it's all destroyed.
So how did you guys respond, especially the kids, also seeing that, just like, wow, all of everything that we owned is just gone or destroyed or scattered? What was kind of the aftermath?
Yeah. I mean, that was the four-year-old's reaction, was it's all destroyed. The two oldest at the time were like 7 and 8, I think. And we had a dog kennel at the time. We had many dogs and we had puppies, and they immediately started going out trying to look for the dogs and the puppies. They took on, when I look back and I think they were 7 and 8 at that time, they seemed so much older.
Yeah.
they really handled it quite well, I have to say. And we had friends show up very shortly after Lane got there and whisked the kids and I away. I was 6 months pregnant at the time.
Wow.
So everyone was very concerned. It got me kind of out of there because it really, there's a fair amount of shock that sets in. You know, you just don't know how to react. You're never prepared for that. But the amount of people, by 10 o'clock that night, I think you said there were 20 plus people there looking for dogs and helping us get at least somewhat settled. Mm-hmm. That was huge.
Did you guys, did you recover some of the animals or find any of them? Or
we actually recovered every single one of them.
Alive?
Alive.
Wow.
Every one of them.
So a tornado leveled your home and every person and animal survived.
Yes.
Wow.
And
there
it took
injured dogs.
Yeah.
I had, we had two kennels, two litters that were in a barn that was completely taken away, but the kennels were untouched.
Wow.
And the puppies were there. We found every dog. We had our vet came out the next day and helped us. There were a couple that had broken legs. We found one at least 2-3 days later under our deck, and we were all working there cleaning up, and somebody yelled out that there was a dog under the deck, that they saw it. And so anyway, that was the last one. And so we had two older kids that were at the camp I mentioned, and we'd opted not to even tell them about it until they got home. So we just didn't want to ruin their camp. They were on their way home, and I called them and told them, and they thought it was a joke. They thought I was teasing them or something, but they could tell eventually that it was the case.
So let's flash forward a little bit. You know, you've had this happen, pull life together. You moved into a new home. You know, things are all seem to be back in order. And then how long after was this? Your other home suffered a fire. How long after was this?
Almost 11 years.
Okay. So it feels like we moved on, we moved past this. Then 11 years later, your house burns down, second house.
Right.
What happened there?
So we had been, it was a Sunday. We'd been at some friends in the evening, got home, everyone in bed. We're all pretty probably sound asleep, except my oldest son that was living at home. Was still awake and thought he heard a strange noise. So he finally went to his bedroom window to see what it was, and he could see flames wrapping around the corner of the house. And he immediately came downstairs where our room was, yelling, "There's a fire, the house is on fire." And Lynn could tell immediately from his voice, this was not a small deal. There was something seriously wrong. So he went to the back side of the house and could see the whole outside lit up like a Christmas. I mean, it was very bright out. So he knew the fire was very bad. But at this point, it was still all on the outside of the house. No fire alarms were going off. So if Colby hadn't been awake, none of us still would have known. There was nothing inside the house at that point. Immediately got all the kids up and got a pair of shoes on each of them. And the older boys went back upstairs to try to get a few more things like their own shoes and wallets and things, but couldn't get up the stairs. At that point, the windows were breaking and the smoke was rolling in.
Yeah.
So we got everyone safely outside, and then Lane and the older boys went back in for a few essentials. They got a safe that had birth certificates in it. Got some keys, I don't know, a handful of things. They were able to make, what, maybe one or two more trips?
Yeah, I think maybe two more trips.
It sounds like it was moving pretty fast.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I really was surprised. I thought we'd have more time, but it started on the outside of the house. There was no smoke inside and until the windows started breaking. And then, you know, we saw smoke rolling down the stairs, so we knew we couldn't be going back in.
Right.
So, and by that time, the fire trucks were getting there. So, and they, we don't live in an area where we have fire hydrants. It's out in the country a little bit, or acreages. So when they got there, you know, it's, their basic goal was to prevent the fire from getting to other houses. So we in watching them, we knew that they weren't going to put out the fire. They were going to let it burn and just control it.
Well, also because everyone had gotten out.
Exactly.
So they knew there was no one else they had to rescue or
Correct.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
So.
And they did a great job. I mean, they did come up to us, and the garage, you know, they had everything closed off except the garage. And they said, "Hey, can we get some stuff out of there for you?" And they took out a freezer full of meat and some tools that we had in there and brought them out. And then it was a big house. I mean, it probably took 12 to 15 hours of firemen, fire trucks coming in there with tanker trucks, dumping the water in pools and then, you know, spraying that on the house. And then, you know, finally after about, they had to bring in a bulldozer.
So did this fire originate from outside the house?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was like from a wildfire or embers, or you don't even...
We have no idea.
Lightning or...
No lightning. There was no, there were fires apparently that day that were probably 15, 20 miles away from us.
So just like some embers floating in the wind?
It seems unlikely, but there's really no evidence.
Whatever in the investigation, they didn't find that it was like an electrical fault or something in the house. Because it sounds like what you're saying, which is a weird thing, to see fire on the outside and then it moves in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the firefighters confirmed that. They said based on the way it's burning, it started on your outside deck. And they were questioning us, you know, is there a grill out there? Is there a ceiling fan? There's no electricity out there, no grill.
Wow. So then, so then after this happens, did some of your experiences from the tornado kind of inform, or like, how is your response to this time around similar or different from the last time?
Well, I guess the main thing was that from the first experience, we knew that God was going to take care of us. And one of the things we didn't, in the first situation, there was a house that was available less than half a mile away from our house in the same neighborhood. And it was owned by the parents of some people that went to our church. And they offered to let us move in there. So it was easy for us to move the stuff from our house to there. And then, you know, that was also present this time. Mm-hmm. In that there was a house about 5 minutes from our house that just the couple that my oldest daughter was babysitting for happened to be moving to Edmond, and their house was available. And they said, wow, we want you guys to move in. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to do that. And that's where we're at right now. So, you know, we just, from our first experience, we really believed that God would take care of us. And there were so many miraculous things that happened. It was a tragedy, but at the same time, the amount of people who were there to help us, a family, a priest that we've just been very dear to us, called us. I don't know how I found out about the tornado, but he called us. And then again, this time we hardly ever talked to him. He called again, just out of the blue. Mm-hmm. and said, you know, how are you guys? So just, we feel like, you know, it's a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just, but we see that God has us and he's taking care of us. So our, you know, that's what we just want to have the faith, and we want to be a good example for our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, that tragedies can happen in life, and that you just have to pick yourself up and trust that God's going to take care of you. And there's a lot of things that happen outside of our control. So
yeah, I guess that would be my next question, is what would your practical advice be for moms or dads, or anyone really, who suffers, you know, a tragedy? It could be loss of property, could be loss of a loved one, and it just seems so unexpected. It's like we expect tomorrow will be like today and will be like yesterday, and when it isn't, it throws you for a loop. Like, what are, from what you've learned in this experience, what would you recommend for others who this hits them right across the face, you know?
I think one of the best things for us, this priest that Lane referred to recommended to us to get to start the novena,
the surrender novena.
Surrender novena. That was Padre Pio's confessor, I believe, that wrote it. And it really challenges you to truly surrender all to Jesus, that he will provide for you. He will carry you every step of the way. And that's my biggest advice, I guess, is just that, the complete surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, God, I'm your tool. I'll go where you want me. I know that you've got me in this. He continually shows us his hand. And even though I can't see the next plan he has for me, why would I believe anything other than he's got that one taken care of as well?
Right.
So I would say there's really not a step-by-step plan. It really, when tragedy hits, you don't, that's the thing, it's tragedy because you don't expect it.
Right.
It comes like a thief in the night. And so you just, you know, the first thing is we just have to surrender and ask for God's help, and then trust that he's going to lead us down the path we need to go. So, I mean, there were things tangible we learned from our first, you know, I knew to get the birth certificates. I knew to get a few things out.
Mm-hmm. Put shoes on the kids.
Put shoes on the kids.
That's one thing you don't think of, yeah. But and that's hard. It seems like a lot of these, you know, these things happen when you're not prepared. Like even the clothes on your back. It's like, it's nice to at least have shoes.
Yes.
When you're out and doing stuff, not have to get that. And then, well, I want to ask you also, it seems like you've got another whammy that's been thrown at you because of like clerical issues or weird things. It seems like that your home insurance won't cover the loss of the home from the fire.
It doesn't look very positive right now. I guess the story behind that is our insurance agent, we had insurance and we signed the paperwork. And somewhere between the time we signed the paperwork, she sold the, her husband got sick and died. She got sick. She sold the agency. and then she passed away. And when we called the new agency after the fire and said, you know, we need a copy of our homeowner's insurance policy because, you know, we had a fire and everything's burned.
Right.
So they said it took them several days to respond and kind of postponing us and saying, you know, that person's not in the office today. We'll get back with you, you know, and we're wanting to know this. So finally they said, when we called them maybe the third day, it was, they said, you know, we don't have a copy of your homeowner's insurance. We don't have record of you ever having homeowner's insurance. And unfortunately, this has happened in other cases with this agency we bought from this other gal who passed away. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's at right now. And we just decided we can't pursue that right now because we have to find a place for our family. Mm-hmm. We have to get moved in and get things back to normal. So as it stands right now, we don't have, you know, insurance. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know.
Is this a random thing? They didn't file the paperwork correctly, and then you just didn't have an active policy when this happened. You thought you did, but they didn't hold up their end.
Right. And again, I don't know what transpired, you know, if that, I don't even know if our company that we had for homeowners insurance is in business or not. So we haven't even looked into that.
Wow.
So that's where it's at right now. But
now do you have a GoFundMe or anything like that for people who might want to help you out right now while you're trying to get back on your feet?
They did set up a GoFundMe. Some very generous friends have worked very hard to put that together for us, and people have been amazing in supporting us. I know many, many people that I'm sure don't even know us have reached out and had huge amounts of charity generosity, which we are so grateful for. Those people are in our prayers every day.
Yeah. Well, we'll be sure also to link to that GoFundMe here in the episode description if people want to go and check out and help you out, because that's what we should do. Galatians 6:2 says we're to bear one another's burdens, and that's just, it's just so helpful to be able to do that. But I'm really amazed that seeing, like, I've known other people who have lost the faith who have, in response to far less than what you've suffered from. And then there's people who have suffered more or less. It's not a competition, obviously. But I'm really impressed with your witness and not, I think, and maybe that this can be helpful for people. Like, I feel like a lot of times when bad things happen, we want to be angry or despairing. How have you dealt with the temptation to just want to like wallow in just kind of these negative emotions instead of keeping the eye on the beatific vision, if you will?
Well, I, to be honest, you know, it's not something that's easy. You know, there's always that temptation there. And the longer you let it sit and think about that, the harder it is to resist that. It's just like any temptation to sin. So it doesn't matter what happens to us. You know, we're supposed to, God will not give us more than we can handle. And he's giving that us that cross for a reason. And so it's just that persistence and getting back up and, you know, resisting the temptation to despair, to anger. You know, there are, and I'll be honest, you know, we're not perfect. You know, there are moments, just ourselves, where there is that frustration. And
I think that's understandable given what happened. Yeah.
And they're just, in the end though, you know, there's no other option. Mm. We have to choose God, and we have to choose to get back up. It wouldn't matter if there were 100 tragedies that came our way. And it is just, as you said, we know people who have suffered far more. In that tornado, there was a family that went to our church that lost 2 children.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, all of our family, through all of these things that have happened, everybody has come out fine.
I guess that's one way to look at it, is when bad things happen, what are the blessings in that? And for you all, amazing to have 2 homes destroyed, not a single person or even animal was killed. And if some people would not even look at that, but that is something we have to look at, what we have been blessed with, even in tragedy.
And those are all things that I look at signs that God is with us. Mm. You know, he's permitting us to go through this. I mean, he's allowing it, but, you know, he believes it's for a reason. We have to believe that God knows what he's doing more than we do. So,
yeah.
that's what keeps us going. And, you know, we all want to know what's going to happen 10 years out, plan for it, have savings, have everything there. And, you know, it can be gone in the blink of an eye anyway.
Right.
So we just, we're not in any different situation than anybody else. It's just been made more aware to us than a lot of others. That's all. So it's the circumstances haven't, everybody's in the same situation. We don't know what's going to happen
from
day to day.
Yeah.
So it's just, I guess we could look at it as a blessing to have that awareness, because it, it really does take a little bit of pressure off when you look at it that way, that, you know, we just have to sail the boat. We
right.
can't control the winds. So it's not my job to do that.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by with us today. I'm going to ask our listeners to pray for you. And I'm going to ask them also to visit your GoFundMe. We'll link to that in the episode description. So definitely check that out, everybody. And thank you guys for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so
thank
much
you,
for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. I hope you learned a lot from this experience. Your prayers and financial support would be greatly appreciated. And I hope that you all just have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.